Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah,
it's a pregame show.
Yeah, you're on with the Urban Sports Scene. Oh, yeah, the show is actually starting.
I didn't think it was.
Yeah, it's actually starting. This is what happens, right? You have been here for a while. You know what I mean? Once I cue the music, the show is on. We're official right now. But we're not right now. We're not actually recording, though. It's weird.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I understand. Hello, everyone.
Now we're on now. So we're back
on. It's the pregame show.
Now people can hear us. Now they can
it's
hear
the
us.
NBA Finals pregame show with the Urban
yeah,
Sports
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm excited. You know what I mean? I predicted it for this series to go seven. I actually initially, you all heard the show. I predicted that it was going to go seven, and Golden State was going to win the series. Now I'm flip-flopping. Like, we'll get into that later, though. But again, I'm boosted. I have my homie Ray Jeezy here waiting on my homeboy Will. So we're going to have a full house. Basically, the old Urban Sports Scene back in effect. Missing one member, though. The goal is to get everybody together. We can do a reunion show.
I have nothing to say.
You're not down with that a reunion show? It wouldn't be what's the word? What's the term I'm using?
Therapeutic?
Not therapeutic.
Beneficial?
Nostalgia. Some type of nostalgic feeling. Is that even right? Really?
No matter whether I'm on the new show or the old show, I am the Urban Sports Scene.
I love it. I love it. It's LeBron James. That's LeBron James.
No, not really. Swag right not really. Not really.
I am the Urban Sports Scene.
I came up with the name, this outline, you know, work.
It's the same outline, though, real talk.
This is my work, man.
You know what I mean? You should be
proud of
you. And you should probably say, what's wrong with you, son?
So this is my work, man.
If you all don't know, Ray has made a promise to stop saying the term man throughout any statement he makes.
It's professional growth.
It's hard, though.
Professional growth.
I'm still trying. The word I was trying never to say on air.
I don't know.
It was something.
You weren't,
laugh.
You weren't wanting to laugh.
It's the laugh. Yeah, I didn't want to laugh. I still can't stand my laugh. To this day, I cannot stand my laugh. Anyway, again, if you want to call into the Urban Sports Scene, our phone lines are open. The number is 240-478-3140. My apologies. I had the other phone line. That phone line is not working. But again, if you do want to call in, the number is 240-478-3140. Oh, my God. Look who's walking in the building with shades on like he's
Sweet.
A Hollywood dude.
Sweet.
My man.
Sweet. Just in time. Just
though.
In time.
Should I get out your government, though? Damn. Come on, cut the language.
Just in time.
I hope they didn't hear that.
Talking about the Nationals.
I hope they didn't hear that, though.
I wasn't ready. I was not ready.
You're a Nets fan, though.
I didn't know we were going to have a third member today,
see,
man.
Surprise, man.
Yeah, I didn't tell
surprise,
you.
Man.
I let you watch Power, you know.
Go ahead, man. Don't tell people how I spend my Saturday nights, man.
In peace.
Hey, man. It's like we're having the whole roster back. We're missing one, but like the whole original roster.
The original? Why is this?
Since the original roster.
They say home is where the heart is.
Exactly.
I came back.
I appreciate it,
LeBron.
You came back LeBron. Ray just said that he is the Urban Sports
Scene. I am the Urban Sports Scene.
You are the Urban Sports Scene. You have a cult-like following.
Actually,
I don't, but I am the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get him to put more stuff on the Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Some topics.
We need you to blog, man. That's what we really need.
We're the blog. It's not about the barrels.
We really need you to blog, man.
The boxing blog.
It went up, then it came down.
Will was on fire with that joint. I can't stand my laugh. I still can't stand it.
If something's funny, you gotta laugh.
I don't
enjoy
laugh.
Your life.
Laugh. Ha, 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 ha,
it's the Urban Sports Scene pregame show. Game 6.
All right, Will, go ahead, save it.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, the Washington Nationals.
Let's record that.
You should record it.
Nah, I got that copyrighted.
Oh, my God. The Washington Nationals are 4-6. And in the last 10 games, Ian Desmond is struggling. And Danny Espinosa is actually playing good baseball. When Zimmerman returns, Brian Zimmerman, because he's on the DL, should the Nats consider starting Espinosa over Ian Desmond?
No, I don't think he should at this point, just for the simple fact. If you give Ian Desmond too much time off, then when he comes back off the bench, you could possibly have him reverting back to his April form. And anyone who's been following this team for the last couple of seasons know what I'm talking about. Ian Desmond has struggled whenever he's had extensive time off. We all know at this point it's mental. It's not like you can send him down to AAA or AA to get better. He doesn't necessarily have any injuries per se that are ailing him. So only way he's going to get through it is just mentally preparing himself and just getting over whatever demons he has that's blocking him from producing at the level that he wants to produce at.
So I mean, so you say it's mental. What's causing it? Is it the errors he had initially, or what?
I think he may be putting too much pressure on himself because it's a contract season. That's my personal opinion. Maybe he hasn't. Oh, you don't think so, right?
No, I agree. Feel like his lease is short, and he knows it.
Yeah, I feel that also. I think he knows that his time in Washington is very short.
Is it because the kid they got in the trade in the minor leagues, Turner?
I don't think so. I believe as you grow older, you can no longer be judged off your potential. After a while, you have to produce consistently, and he hasn't been consistent throughout his career. But when he was younger and he would go through a stage like this, again, he has raw natural talent. He has the potential to be a great player. But now you can't say that. He has a body of work, some of which is impressive. But again, consistency is what is most important in any professional sport.
Well, I mean, I agree with what Will was talking about in terms of it being mental. We're talking about a guy who has a decent track record, averages about 20 to 25 home runs a season. He's never been the more high average guy, but he's a good run producer. And for a shortstop, that's rare to have a guy at that situation. We all do know, as watching Ian Desmond, he is streaky. He's very streaky. He can go into a cold streak and go like what he is right now, 0-16, and then he can get hot, maybe hitting like 400 within a 10-game span. So again, he is playing bad baseball at the moment offensively. But if you're going to look at his track record, we can go off his track record. He's a guy who's a streaky baseball player. So I don't see the benefits of benching him, because if you bench him, you can lose out on a guy who can be one of the better shortstops in this game offensively in the National League.
No, I totally agree with you. Historically, he's been a 20-20 guy, 20 home runs, 20 stolen bases. So over the lifespan of his career, you've seen the production. Like you said, he doesn't necessarily hit for average. But from the shortstop position, he does provide power. So at this point, if you're Matt Williams, you have to get creative with where you're going to place him in the lineup and be strategic with giving him days off so he can try to maximize maximize his rest, and, you know, help him with whatever is, whether it's mentally or whether it's with his swing on his technique.
Well, I posed a question on Facebook. Should he be benched for Danny Espinosa? Kyle Phillips said they've been thought he should have been benched 2 weeks ago. Matthew Hoffman said, absolutely. His slash line is bad, but his RS, or his runner in score position slash line, is even worse. What is a slash line?
I don't know.
There's too many numbers. There's too many stats in baseball.
Yeah, it's too many stats and too many it's just
nuances.
I should
research that part. Slash line.
I don't know what
that's all right.
With the errors.
Thanks for your support.
Right. Yeah. Much.
I am the Urban Sportsman.
With the errors on top of that, he is a liability that needs to take a seat for a while and figure out what's going on mentally. Again, like I said earlier, it's definitely a mental issue with Ian Desmond. Solid baseball player, but it is a mental issue. My girl Debbie said, well, Espinosa went into a deep decline for a while. They worked with him, sat him out, rest him, and now he's awesome again. They haven't taken Desmond out and let him regroup. On a longer term yet. Couldn't that possibly help? If he got more rest, do you think he'd be better off?
I'm not sure I'd answer that, but I will say this: if this was the postseason, I would take Espinosa.
Absolutely.
I feel like there's a lot of baseball left to be played in the regular season, so Ian Desmond does have time.
But again,
if I'm going to, I guess, be looking at someone who is quote-unquote clutch, or I'm going to trust when the season is on the line, I'm going to go with Espinosa.
All right. Are you pointing to talk about your team?
This show is so biased. The way it's all.
I know. Yeah. The way these statements are rolling.
You throw shade at the Nationals.
Exactly.
I did throw shade. I'm on Espinosa. I think Espinosa, I'm on his side. I think he should actually still play.
But you started out with their 4-6 in the last 10 games.
You wanted to point out the 4-6, like Ray
said.
Then
a 9-2 for the Orioles. The thing is, when the Nationals are winning and Orioles are struggling, he throws in the white flag. He gives so much credit to the Nationals. Yeah. When your team is down, but when your team appears to be playing better,
that's when you. I trashed the Orioles not too long ago, like last week.
Yeah, you had. Sometimes you have to.
Well, a couple weeks ago.
It's the Eminem. It's the Eminem theory, as you always tell me.
It is.
What's the Eminem theory?
Let me trash my team before somebody else does it.
right. Well,
8 Mile thing, you know it.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you all off.
Oh, no problem, no problem. I live by that though, right? I'm happy to have you back, man.
Me too. I'm excited, man.
All right, but now the Orioles are 9-2 in their last 11 games. They're playing the Phillies tonight, and they're actually up 6-0 at the top of the second inning.
Yeah.
Nolan Remmel.
Rymo
was called up.
I got you.
Hey, man, listen. I never say I'm good at pronouncing people's names.
Who is?
Nolan Rymo was called up and has played well and left. Other than center, the Orioles really don't have any everyday left and right fielder.
I probably wrote that too.
Who should man those positions? We know you wrote those.
I know. You can tell. I'm an Eastern Shore. Honestly, Nolan Rymo should stay at left field. He's a solid left fielder. Since being called up from Norfolk, the Orioles minor league team. He's hit a couple home runs and actually plays stellar defense. And he produces speed, too, and power, which the Orioles don't have throughout, you know, other than Adam Jones in the outfield with the combination. Delman Young has played great. I would actually have him as a bookend right fielder. He leads the league in assists, the American League in assists from the outfield. He hits about 290, 285. A professional hitter, to be honest with you. I would platoon Snyder. You know, they got him in the offseason. Platoon him. My main thing is I would definitely have Rymo at start. Just because and the Orioles were playing great baseball, you know, what you got something to say, Ray? You're looking at me kind of dumb. You know what I'm saying? Looking at me kind of dumb.
I'm still laughing the way Will pronounced it. We need a teleprompter. That's the next move. With like the pronunciation in parentheses.
Man, I miss you, Ray Jeezy, man. Real talk, man. I miss you, man.
Remmel's one of my favorite players.
Hey, yeah, I miss you, dude. Y'all miss me. Hey, man, you gotta love Ray, man. Hands down, man. Hands down.
It's all good, man.
Hold on, real quick.
There are seasons for everything, Facebook, and man. It is not the season to talk about baseball.
It's always the season to talk about
baseball. No, as soon as the NBA Finals is over, we can talk baseball all day.
It's about to be over soon.
No, it's not. It won't be over tonight.
It won't?
I agree. See, thank you. It won't. That's what I'm saying.
I think it goes 7.
I thought you said 6. Originally.
I did, but just the way we'll talk about
it. The backtracking scene.
Hold on. On Facebook, said Delvin Young has earned the right field spot. Not only with the bat, but surprisingly with the glove and his arm. Left field is a whole different story. Snyder, Lowe, Paredes are your left-handed bats, and I love to see Rymo become the everyday player at left field. James Rivera said Rymo left. If Parmalee falters, then go to Delvin Young. Thank y'all for the comments. Appreciate it. Parmalee, no, I'm not a fan with that. Delvin Young should definitely start. And I agree with you, John. Definitely. I love Rymo at left field. And Delvin Young definitely deserves a spot at right field. So we can go somewhere else now. I did my Orioles talk. Love you, Baltimore. Keep up the good work.
All right. Heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder knocked out Eric Molina after 9 rounds in Alabama to retain the WBC heavyweight champ. I think it's a WBC.
WBC.
I could be wrong. WBC heavyweight championship.
Right, WBC.
Did any of you guys watch Saturday?
I didn't get a chance to. I was at
Ray was DVRing Power for his wife. So
Wait, you really?
Chance to watch it.
Yeah, I mean we have more than one TV, but I was out and about. I don't watch a whole lot of TV unless it's Food Network, Guilty Pleasures, and
here
shows like that.
But no, I got a chance to watch some of it. I didn't really.
I saw Knockout.
Yeah, I saw the knockout. Deontay Wilder looks impressive. He doesn't have necessarily the high level of skilled fighters that would make one feel confident if he was to fight Vitaly Klitschko, if it came down to him when he gets the opportunity to fight Vitaly Klitschko. But I think if Deontay Wilder, he continues to improve and continues to step up in a level of competition, you got to have a guy who has the potential to beat Vitaly Klitschko, whatever you want to call him, Klitschko in a heavyweight championship fight.
Yeah, I was about to say, I thought it was Vitaly. Is it Vitaly or Vitaly?
They call him on HBO, they say Vitaly.
Yeah, everybody,
Tomato, tomato. Yeah. I knew who you were talking about.
No, yeah, but do you think his chin is weak? Because I saw the highlights. He was getting, he was staggered, like he's about to go down.
Well, I'm not going to say his chin is weak. I'll say he hasn't necessarily been pressured and been tested. To go against a guy like Klitschko, who's such a heavy-handed and such a strong puncher, just a very strong and athletic boxer.
Who do you think, other than Vitaly, or Vitaly, whatever his name is, who do you think is next for him? I heard Tyson. not Mike Tyson.
Tyson Fury.
What else?
Alexander Povetkin. There isn't a whole lot out there in the heavyweight division, first and foremost. Those two names are probably the names that you'll hear over the next few months, specifically Alexander Povetkin. I hope I pronounced his last name.
You're right, Povetkin. That's what it is.
But probably Alexander, you'll see him next, probably sometime in the fall before the year's over. If the fight can be made, but if not, he'll fight another tomato can and continue to sharpen his skills and prepare for a big fight.
Cool. All right. So first off, also I want to say congratulations. That's the second home run. Good job, Manny Machado. Two home runs. Good job, Orioles. All right. I want to say congratulations, Chicago White Sox. Chicago Blackhawks for winning the Stanley Cup. Good job. I didn't watch the game.
Well, I believe that. Maybe because of a bad TV deal, a team that's a dynasty, an organization that has a dynasty like the Chicago Blackhawks flies under the radar.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think they're a dynasty?
Well, because it's not one of the most popular. Oh, because they win consistently championships over the past, I want to say since the year 2000. I can't say the past decade plus. Yeah. They've won, I don't know how many Stanley Cup titles, but I'm sure there's a hockey enthusiast who can tell me. But it's been multiple, more than multiple.
Well, I guess that lends to the debate or conversation about what do you define a dynasty as. Me personally, I think a team that at least wins back-to-back championships and consistently is in a position to compete for a championship. That's a dynasty. The Blackhawks, to me, maybe I'm mistaken or not, they haven't won back-to-back championships just yet.
They won two out of 3 years.
I'll look it up.
2 out of 3 years, and I believe the year they did, the in-between year, they went to the Western Conference.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, against the Kings and lost in 7 in overtime. Yeah,
so I would kind of give them a dynasty just because they're always in position to win a championship.
Nah.
In my opinion, that's
well-run. To me, well-run organization, dynasty, two different things. In my opinion, the Bulls were a dynasty. Jordan when they won
that's
6
an obvious one. Okay, so
Shaq and
you
Kobe.
Classify the Heat as a dynasty because they went back to back.
I would qualify them yes as a dynasty. They went to four straight championships and they won back to back championships.
That's because it's a more popular sport.
They did go four straight.
Four straight championships and back-to-back championships. In order, you have to defend your crown to be a dynasty.
This is LeBron's fifth. I'm sorry.
They won in 2010, 2013, and 2015.
They won?
That makes them a well-run.
They won in 2010?
Yeah.
Dang.
That makes them a well-run organization.
That's a dynasty.
I mean, just to me, it's like San Francisco Giants. That's a well-run organization to me. It's the difference between a well-run organization.
Okay,
and
one thing I'll say is now we don't know this, but do the Blackhawks have their core players still in place? Because
they still do
exactly. So that's a dynasty versus San Fran. They have changed personnel over the years. So I don't think they're a dynasty either. But again, it's all about the last thing I'll say is it's about the popularity of the sport. Serena Williams is doing amazing things, historical things in tennis, but it doesn't get talked about on shows like this.
No, it does. I was barely
in the pregame though. No. We don't talk at length about
it because it happened last week. That's the reason why I can't talk about it. You talking about
French? No, I'm just saying in general though.
Well, she's the best women's. She's arguably one of the best athletes ever. Period.
Absolutely.
I talked to her. If we did a show last week, I would have talked about her.
Why didn't you do a show last week? You're supposed to keep the flag going.
Why?
Keep the flame burning.
I shouldn't say on shows like this, but in general, there's not.
I couldn't get Ray. Ray could come. I could get anybody else.
You asked me?
Yeah, I asked you last week. Oh. You said you couldn't do it. I asked anybody.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Well, Serena Williams doesn't get talked about enough in general. even on the major sports radio shows and networks, you know.
They should talk about her a lot.
They should. They absolutely should.
Anyway, let's go
disrespectful.
Lance Stevenson, I don't know why, was traded to the Hornets for Spencer Halls and Matt Barnes.
Was traded
to the Clippers for
Spencer Halls and Matt Barnes. I like this trade for Lance Stevenson. I don't necessarily know if this is going to work for the Clippers as a whole in general, but I like this trade for him because he gets a guy in Doc Rivers who's a player's coach, who will be able to, I think, relate to him better than any other coach he's had. And also, it takes some of the pressure off of him from a perspective of creating plays for himself and others, because he has CP3. And we all know that Chris Paul, one of the, is to me, the best point guard in the game.
I'm not sure about that. But that's a, that's
not
a
sure about what? Chris CP. Paul being the best point guard in the game?
No, I'm not sure about that. But what I will say is, I believe Lance Stephenson is going to come off the bench. I'm not sure how Doc Rivers plans to use him at this point. Will he be on the court at the same time as CP3? We'll see. The whole point of bringing in a scorer like himself, who's going to come off the bench, is you need more than Jamal Crawford. CP3 needs more time off. You see, his body wears down similar to D Wade's. I want to say by the second round, he's usually out of it. Clearly. Now, he played his heart out, but he's only, what, 5'11"? There's no way that a man is going to lead a man that small, a la AI, is going to win a championship with having to carry the load. It just doesn't happen. So I think he needs to take care of his body, especially at this stage of his career, and bringing in Lance Stephenson to come off the bench, to bring some scoring to the table, to give him some minutes to where he can buy some time and come back and be a closer. Because I think he is one of the best closers, and he doesn't get credit for that. But No. Chris Paul is one of the best closers in the game. He closed the Spurs out. The Spurs might be here now if it wasn't for Chris Paul.
Totally agree. The reason why I don't agree with the sign is that you saw Doc Rivers' son, Austin Rivers, had a decent postseason. Looked good as the backup point guard to Chris Paul, and he plays under control. You bring in a wild card like Lance Stephenson, who likes to do his own thing. That I don't understand that aspect of the
J.R. Smith made the transition with the right team. I think he can make a transition.
That's a great point.
That's a good point. I just think J.R. Smith is a little more talented than Lance.
No, he is.
I think that's the difference.
Just as erratic.
Yeah, no, he's just as erratic. But the shots that J.R. takes, he can make easily.
J.R. Smith doesn't create his own shot all the time, though. Lance Stephenson can.
Well, J.R. can't create his own shot. He just
does. Can he at this stage?
Yeah, he can. He's just not the best shot in the world.
It's usually a fadeaway or something.
His step back is effective. I mean, he has a good step back.
The ones he makes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. My point.
I mean, maybe you get a different Lance Stephenson this year because he's a little bit more humble because of what he went through in Charlotte.
I thought
maybe he's a little bit more hungry, and you know, you see that Lance Stephenson who you saw in 2013 with the Pacers because he's a little bit more hungry. Even though yes, he has been paid his money, but he's a little bit more hungry. Maybe more receptive to coaching and more open to being a better teammate in LA.
I just thought he'd be more. I thought going to playing for the Hornets, he'd be more humble anyway. That's what I thought. Just because you just left a team that had an opportunity to go to the to the finals in the Pacers, and now you're playing with the Charlotte Hornets. I thought he'd be more humble anyway.
Some people don't seize the moment. That's how I look at it. Kemba Walker embraces playing in front of MJ every night. That is an honor and a privilege. Richard Hamilton in Washington embraced the moment playing with MJ versus Juan Dixon and the rest of those crybabies didn't want to win. He's mentally weak, so send him to LA where he's laid back, as Wilty said.
I'm sorry, the Jordan reference got to me. Can we go there? Can we leave this topic, please?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, going on
to the next one.
More interesting moves in the world of sports.
This is my boy Ray, man. I love him so much, man. Former Washington Redskins quarterback Jason Campbell has retired.
I don't know if that was as interesting.
But. Yeah, but you know, if you
might as well put John Kidney on here and all the journeymen.
This is why.
Nah, I'm just saying we might as well announce when all the backup quarterbacks retire.
Jason Campbell is a
journeyman. He played for the Browns, the Raiders, the Redskins, the Cardinals.
I said former Washington Redskins quarterback.
Traded back into the first round to get.
Like I told Ray, he didn't get a fair shake over here. Things happen. He had to.
Well, let me ask you.
He got a fair shake in other places.
Talking about him, let me ask you this: do you think his career could have been a little bit different if the Shanahans had been his coach instead of training for Donovan McNabb?
You mean if they didn't? Oh, they decided to keep him. You mean
if they had decided to keep him and not go with Donovan?
No, he doesn't have the arm strength.
He does have the arm strength. What are you talking
about?
I mean,
he does. He had a decent. He had a strong arm at Auburn.
Don't do that. Don't do that, man. Ray doesn't like that he shows no emotion, according to Ray.
He's not a winner. He's a journeyman.
You know what I mean? Daryl.
When did we start celebrating journeymen? That's Daryl, what I want to. Did, was this on the bottom line? How did you know about this?
Daryl or Coming to America.
How did you know about this?
Because I do my sports research. That's why.
I don't even
know. We're talking about Jason Campbell.
Jason Campbell is Mr. Irrelevant.
Dang, man, this dude is cold blooded.
No, I'm just.
This dude is so cold.
When John Kitna retires, are you gonna place that in the show as one of the
John Kitna to me?
He's a journeyman.
Okay, when John Beck retires, are you going to put it in the note?
John Beck is annoying.
John Beck was the future of this franchise at one time.
That's Shanahan trying to drug us up. John Beck.
I could see if he was Doug Flutie, somebody who's a traditional backup. Right.
He went to the Raiders and almost had that team in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know what?
Why are you knocking Jason Campbell?
You hate on Kurt Warner.
Oh, Kurt Warner's different, though.
But you
don't like Kurt Warner?
No.
Why not?
Kurt Warner, Ray,
but you like Jason Campbell.
Yeah.
Why?
Are you crazy? Is there something wrong with you?
No, can I explain? Why can I explain before you get me? Because you go ahead. Like, dang.
Explain.
I can't explain myself?
Explain.
All right, the reason why I don't like Kurt Warner is because Kurt Warner is glorified for winning with, like, so much with talented players. Period. Like, to the wide receiver. Look at the wide receiver position.
You put Jason Campbell on that team, he couldn't win.
Jason Campbell couldn't win. He could win.
He doesn't make decisions fast enough.
With Torrey Holt and Isaac King, yes, he could. With the same system.
Isaac Bruce? Isaac King was like the third receiver.
I was going to say.
I mean, you still on point.
And Marshall Faulk.
And Marshall Faulk. And then you go to Arizona. He has every place that he succeeded, he didn't have one number one wide receiver. He had two number one wide receivers on the same team.
But he still flourished.
But he went with the Giants.
He still flourished.
No. You can't hate on that, though. You know why?
He went to Arizona. Well,
Matt Leinart had those. Matt Leinart had those guys.
Yeah, Matt Leinart had those guys. And also,
Jason Campbell's horrible.
Let's remember. the Giants actually had a winning record when Kurt Warner was the quarterback.
Yeah, when he's fumbling on everything, which way he wasn't an effective quarterback though. He wasn't like crucial. His stats weren't awesome.
Jason Campbell never won a national championship. Maybe he shared one, and he had like Cadillac Williams in college, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he actually had Ronnie Brown too, correct? Yeah, Ronnie Brown. Yeah, they had a good team. They never won a national championship. Matt Leinart did.
Matt Leinart.
He won a national championship.
Really, that's like a pro team in college. Like, seriously, though? Like, really?
They were paid like a pro team.
Come on, now. Don't do that. I know you don't like Jason Campbell. It's okay. I like Jason Campbell.
How could you not like Kurt Warner?
You had a great career. I mean, not great. I take that back. You didn't have a great career.
Something wrong with you.
He had a solid career.
You had a solid pro career. You made money. For yourself, your wife, he had like Miss DC.
I don't know. I don't care.
Miss bad. Alabama, or,
yeah, Miss
something
Alabama
like
or something like that. Hey, all praise to Jason Campbell. Do not let Ray Jeezy.
Hashtag journeyman. Celebrated journeyman.
All right, man. That's a free game. The Denver Nuggets hired former Sacramento Kings head coach Mike Malone as their head coach. We talked about it before.
Yeah, I talked about it. I don't know if it was the Denver opening, but I did say Mike Malone was a guy who deserved to have another shot in the NBA, and he has that shot in Denver. I think it would have been interesting if Denver had hired Mike D'Antoni with that 7 seconds or less playing up in the mountains in the thin air, just seeing how effective that would have been for him. Although he would have needed to improve the talent on that roster. But I think Mike Malone is a solid hire for Denver Nuggets. He'll probably be given more opportunity and more time to try to round the roster into his vision and get them playing the way he wants to play his style of basketball.
Yeah, definitely like the hiring. I didn't get a fair shake in Sacramento. They won the particular offense in Sacramento, but he was winning. He was winning games. I believe he was over 500 before they fired him, or maybe two games under, something like that. But we're talking about the Sacramento Kings. This team hasn't been competitive in such a long time. He actually had them competing. So I like the hiring for the Denver Nuggets. So we'll see what happens. It's funny. He goes to Sacramento. I mean, he goes to Denver. George Karl is in Sacramento. So like a trade in its own little way. Anyway, it's about time for a commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about the NBA Finals. A little recap of the NBA Finals. Talking about what happened, what we didn't talk about last week, obviously, because we weren't in last week. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Lionel Richie, you suck.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't, because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
No man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all, just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day.
Oh, yeah.
We will be sure. You can listen to us on our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbean.com. We are also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Grid Podcast on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stillafan. The show is produced by West Coast Stillafan. Again, our phone lines are open. The number is 240-478-3140. That's
240-478-3140.
Thank you. All right. Obviously, we didn't have an opportunity to talk about the NBA Finals last week, but what are your thoughts right now? The Warriors are up 3-2. So what are your thoughts about the Finals?
It's been a compelling, interesting finals. I think either way you split it, LeBron James is going to come out on top, even if they lose or if they win. Because if they lose, everyone will say, well, look what he did with the amount of talent that was surrounding him during the series. If they win, they'll be like, holy
sugar plums.
Yeah, sugar honey iced tea. Yeah. Look what LeBron did with what he has. And I'm not going to say most likely, but there's also a good chance that he'll win the finals MVP if this thing goes to 7 and they lose. If they lose tonight, I don't think he gets the MVP. But if it goes to 7 and Cleveland loses, I still think he'll get the MVP.
The most interesting aspect to me is that these are the highest rated NBA final games in years, which tells me this is not, from a fan's perspective, about LeBron James, because LeBron James has been in the previous four, and that many people did not tune in. People want to see Steph Curry succeed. I think he's the clear draw in this. I know ESPN gives LeBron probably more exposure. What's the word? Help me.
Exposure?
No, not exposure. I mean, he doesn't need exposure, but they pay more attention to him. They pay more attention to him because he's the best player in the world. They're the ones that told him that. This is why he said that. Steph Curry.
Let me say that later, though. Let me use that bite.
Sorry.
Now, man.
My point is, fans at home, they want to see Steph Curry, and Steph Curry put on a show, which I believe is going to lead to an even higher rated televised game tonight.
I think that's a little unfair. I think they want the reason why the ratings are so high is because of both Steph Curry and LeBron James. If LeBron James wasn't in the finals, nobody would watch the finals like that, for real. If let's say if LeBron was playing against Who was the Houston Rockets? And I don't even think it'll be the same either. So
I think you would get a certain amount of audience.
You just made my point.
No, but you're saying that LeBron isn't a big deal.
No, I didn't say he wasn't a big deal. Did I say that? I said he's not the biggest draw. I think Steph Curry is because LeBron has been in the previous four, and the ratings have not been this high.
No, what I'm saying is that if LeBron James was playing against James Harden, the ratings would be higher than say
against the Spurs.
Steph Curry playing against the Atlanta Hawks. Would you agree to that, ratings wise?
Well, you're throwing James Harden in there.
Curry can't carry. I'm like you're saying LeBron James. The ratings weren't high. My point is that one star can't. You need another compelling element with that. LeBron James having James Harden, the ratings gonna be higher compared to Atlanta versus Steph Curry. Steph Curry can't run the show by himself. If Steph Curry was in the finals with against the Milwaukee Bucks, it's going to be horrible.
I'm not trying to take anything away from LeBron. All I'm saying is, well, you know what? Actually, I'll change my point. I guess, give in to what you're saying. LeBron is still the main draw because people want to see him lose.
Yes, sir. That's true.
I'm not mistaken, I swear I read this, that this is one of the highest rated finals since when LeBron faced KD because people wanted KD to beat him. So maybe I'm wrong on this one, but I still think that it's just compelling to me that this is one of the highest rated finals in recent memory.
It's a light skin thing for you, isn't it?
I wasn't going to say that.
We're talking about
Sean Livingston. Clay, hey, I'm excited, but Draymond Green gets me hyped, and he's blacker than you.
God, so. Ninja never closes his mouth. It's like he just.
But Matthew Dellavedova, just another dirty foreign player, whatever his name is.
What about Dellavedova?
He's dirty. He wears a nasty beard and he's dirty. and just like Ginobili, Pau Gasol, all them wear those dirty beards and they play dirty basketball. And they act like they act innocent. This is why Luis Scola doesn't succeed.
You know what kills me about Dellavedova's success that he had? What was it? Game 2 when he had the 20 points.
Yeah,
as people act like
game three.
People act like he isn't a marginal NBA player. People act like he's the second coming of a star.
I'm sorry, it's his skin color. That's why. For real.
Explain that, bro. What you mean?
If this was a like Booby Gibson, was he glorified like Dellavedova? No, because he's black. The league, they really want a American white player to take over. Like Dirk wasn't enough, but I think you gotta find the closest thing, I should say. I wasn't gonna word that correctly. Although I'm sure my Caucasian friends, I'm mixed with Caucasian, right? You haven't seen me, so I'm not a racist. But what I'm saying is, I think they would disagree with that point. I still think it's an underlying factor. But
I agree with you.
Bottom line is, if you don't play for you,
all role players don't mean nothing to me. They're role players.
John Stockton days are over. I'm telling you,
not over, way over.
Kyle Korver, sorry. Yeah, he got hurt by that dirty man. So maybe you should get mad at him.
Why don't wipe out violence?
Yeah. I'm not gonna go that far. Like I said, I don't want to lose our white listeners, I'm part white, just like the girl from the NAACP. That's why I begin. That's why I begin compared to Oli, for real.
Hey, this dude here.
Sorry.
Oh man, now I want to agree with you though too. The Steph Curry element. I feel like we can agree on something too. We can agree. He is the number one jersey. He does have the number one jersey sale. So that does go to your point too as well. That he is more. He's one of the biggest draws.
I think he's more. I think people like Steph Curry more. He seems like a regular. He seems like a regular guy. Yeah, where some
he's
people,
somebody you can walk past the ball. He doesn't look like he's an NBA player. Yeah, he's skinny.
Yeah, he looks like the everyday person, except for he's like 6'3".
Well, yeah, we love Steph. But what the last element for me is, Golden State has a bigger fan base than Cleveland.
That's true.
And when people win, the fans come out the woodwork. I've been rooting for Golden State since Rick Barry. I bet you have. But you were not rooting like you are now. You were rooting for Sprewell when he choked his coach.
You were dormant.
Mr. Cooper played for the Warriors.
I know.
That's the most exposure they had. Killer Crossover.
That show was like that.
Chris Webber. Like Chris Webber.
Ron TMC.
Gatlin.
Gatlin. Chris Gatlin.
Chris Gatlin, yeah.
I mean, the Warriors had some good years in between, but nothing like this.
Yeah, Ron TMC with Chris Mellon, Mitch Rich.
I'm telling you, if you put the Warriors as a whole against the Cavaliers, with the Steve Kerr element, who has a Chicago following and a San Antonio following, plus a television audience, They're a bigger draw than Cleveland. It's Cleveland. Did you see what the Cavaliers fans did? They started auctioning off their tickets because they believe this is the closeout game tonight. They originally did not want to sell their tickets because they thought tonight was going to be a closeout game for the Cavaliers where they could celebrate their first title there and since who knows when. But their faith is shaken. I'm telling you. It's like one of those fan bases like Boston that had to overcome through some adversity, and Cleveland needs that. So if you guys are right, Cleveland's going to win it, and they'll be able to shake off this dust. Okay. I think LeBron goes down. I think he's back in the championship, sets a record next year.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Later. You are really going.
I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah, jumping ahead. Come on.
You want to go to Jasper's, man?
I do. I am going to go to Jasper's. It's going to happen, too. Come on. Pump your brakes, though, homie. Pump your brakes. All right, Iguodala. Iguodala, you mentioned Steve Kerr. Great job. He's done a great job as coaching the finals anyway. Putting Iguodala in the starting lineup. Benching Andrew Bogut. How has that impacted the series?
The Andrew Bogut part is what stands out for me. And I think, Wally, you would agree, because we had the, I guess, argument. You and I didn't, but we were arguing with the rest of the world, Mark Jackson in particular, yeah, that Harrison Barnes needed to play ahead of Iguodala. Yeah. Instead, he played them both together and got Andrew Bogut out of there, sped the game up. Totally. And I like that lineup versus if he would have took Harrison Barnes out and put Iguodala in.
Yeah, I agree.
Harrison Barnes brings more to the table.
I heard rumblings about Iguodala being in the starting lineup, and then I was thinking they're gonna bench Harrison Barnes, but I was getting really annoyed when I heard they're gonna bench Bogut. It was like, whoa, like that's different.
Iguodala almost pulled Nick Anderson the other night, and I don't know what's going on in this free throw shooting. Career, he hasn't been that bad.
Yeah, career, he's an 81% free throw shooter. But
I heard
fourth
that.
Quarter of last game of game
too
four.
Much arc on the shot than
you. Excuse me, game five.
I heard that the Cavaliers plan that as a strategy. They're going to foul him often tonight.
I would.
Because they are desperate. LeBron downplayed it, but they are desperate.
I would. Do they have enough bodies?
I mean, he's not Dwight Howard or Shaq. My goodness.
In the postseason, he shoots that bad, though.
I mean, he missed, what, 4 or 5 in a row the other day? That was almost Nick Anderson-esque.
Would you rather give up 1 or 3? I'd give up the 1 over 3 any day of the week. Right now, it's like Steph ain't missing any threes. So.
I don't like that type of basketball.
Oh, I hate it.
Literally, I hate it, too. It slows down the flow of the game.
Doc Rivers turned to the Hacker Dwight. I believe Adam Silver's going to get rid of that rule if it affects tonight's game.
I think he will, too. Adam Silver's very, extremely progressive.
But you don't believe in, like, working your
free evolutionary.
Throws. But I feel like working your free throws, it won't happen, though.
Hmm?
Working your free throws, and it won't happen.
True, but I understand it's strategy, and you need to have that strategic part of the game, but it slows the flow of the game down and makes it very, very unwatchable.
It's like you're rewarding bad free throw shooting.
I just want to tell the world this. Wally can validate. I've always been naturally gifted with video games. So the first time I pick up the controllers and I play NBA 2K, I'm beating the brakes off my friend who had a season, created his own man, beating the brakes off of, but I didn't know how to shoot free throws. My first time playing. He fouled me for the last almost two quarters until I missed everything and he beat me. I mean, what kind of garbage is that? You know what I mean?
It was a strategy. He used a strategy to beat you.
No, here's the thing. That is not how you win in this life. I don't want to teach my kids shortcut, hey, like grab the dude who can't shoot. No. You score. You going to teach your kids that? You a coach.
I teach my kids by any means necessary to win. I want to win game. I want to win.
Forget that. That's like if you're in an academic debate, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, we're going to poison the smart kids' food.
Then you win.
It's not the same thing. But you do not take shortcuts. That's my point. It was.
I know.
That's exactly what crossed my mind. Great minds think alike.
Exactly. You know, homie.
What's up, world?
All right. We talk about Dally.
I need help, man. This is therapeutic for me.
We just talked about Dally.
2K, let's play.
All right, so we missed last week. What's all this joke about? All this stuff about Dally being a Steph Curry stopper, and look at him now. Look at him now.
A glorified Tyronn Lue.
Look at him now.
Yeah, to me personally, I think it was dumb. Anyone who's really paying attention to the game saw that it's not only Dellavedova, but it's the way that they're playing Steph Curry, when the help he's getting them. They're sending help. They're trapping. Dellavedova is making them play more physical, putting the body on them to get the ball and making them applying
Doesn't
pressure
matter.
from that perspective.
And Steph runs all game. Al, we're talking 3 miles a game.
Like Al, my brother, he was like, oh, Dellavedova, he's taking Curry's heart. I was like, dude.
No, it's not. Curry just had a couple bad games.
This was game 3. As soon as he said that comment, in the fourth quarter, like Steph Curry went ham. Then I texted him back, was like, he has whose heart?
To me, Steph went and one esque on him, and the Cavaliers left him on the island. They stopped running people at him. They just let him get yanked and scored on. I mean, that was ugly.
It was ugly. And you know what?
And that's going to be in the highlight reels for a long time.
And that's what happens when you start feeling yourself, to be honest with you. He may have not said anything about it. He might have said anything.
That's the media hype I don't like.
Yeah.
You complain about Kurt Warner when Kurt Warner achieved results.
Yeah.
We're talking about a 10th man who has been hoisted into a position that he's not prepared for.
12th man.
12th man. But the media darling now that, you know, got Taj Gibson kicked out of a game and dives at people's legs. He's the type of dude that you play pickup ball with, somebody's going to hurt him.
I'm not going to get to that real quick.
JP.
Oh, my God. All right, let's go to head coach, Steve Kerr.
JP is a 12th man.
Are we seeing the value of Steve Kerr? Steve Kerr is the head coach for the Golden State Warriors right now.
Are we seeing what?
The value.
To me personally, I don't think we see the value of Steve Kerr yet until Alvin Gentry leaves the bench. Mm. Don't get me wrong, Steve Kerr, you know, he has the pedigree. You know, he spent the time in Chicago, spent the time in San Antonio, was the GM in Phoenix when they made a run to the Western Conference Finals. He was one of the best, to me, the best television analyst on TNT. But
he was the best.
To me, he was my favorite analyst.
Oh, he's your favorite. Okay.
Basketball analyst on TV. During his time there. But I don't think we necessarily see the value of him, even though he has come in and he's made the offense more free flowing, changed up the way they cover defensively to me, but it just has remnants of Alvin Gentry all over this team. And I'm definitely want to see how he produces next year when Alvin Gentry isn't on the bench.
Alvin Gentry doesn't win as a head coach though.
I know he doesn't, but he's a hell of an assistant coach. I don't think there's anyone that would debate that Alvin Gentry isn't a hell of an assistant coach.
I believe that Steve Kerr is going to turn out to be just like Jason Kidd, someone who proves naysayers wrong in, you know, the second year of his coaching career. I believe that because they were the best team in the regular season, and they became the hunted in the playoffs. They played some tough teams. Memphis is a tough out. I don't care what nobody says. And yet they handled it, you know, and they picked up a key road victory in every series thus far. And they blew Houston out in Houston to go 3-0. I believe he's done an exceptional job. The only thing I want to see is how he's going to handle personnel changes with, you know, this being the free agency era. He's going to lose some people. But, you know, he may be able to bring in some guys that will fit his system even more. That is the biggest question for me. But I don't doubt the fact that you know, he has the ability to be a great coach, which is why he was highly sought after as a coach once he decided that's what he wanted to do. And Phil Jackson is feeling bad right now, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know if Steve Kerr could have turned around the Knicks.
He made the right decision. It was an exodus of that talent, of that team. I don't think Steve Kerr could have done it.
I'm telling you, but here's the thing. You got Billy Donovan coming in next season with a healthy Thunder team, hopefully. That's going to be the most formidable opponent for Golden State. He's faced adversity. I'm just wanting to see that matchup because Westbrook to me is emerging as the best point guard in the Western Conference.
Best scoring point guard. Chris Paul is the best point guard in the Western Conference.
I said emerging. I didn't say he was yet.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I'm gonna give Steve Kerr credit. I think he's done a great job. This series has shown how he's a hell of a coach in my opinion. Putting David Lee in the rotation now. Which I don't understand why he didn't play initially, but like, it is what it is. It's worked out fine. It's worked out well for him. Obviously, we talk about Andre Iguodala. He's done a great job to me, in my opinion, in this series in terms of how he can counter what David Blatt and company is doing in Cleveland. And like Ray said, anytime his team has gone through some type of adversity, the following game, his team has bounced back.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's a credit to coaching, in my opinion. Especially think about it, LeBron James. I know again, LeBron James is on a team that doesn't have that much talent around him. But a guy dropping 40 a triple double, and you still beating that team, that's an accomplishment. I'm sorry.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
How much championship experience as a player coach does Alvin Gentry have in comparison to Steve Kerr?
Right.
He doesn't have any. Right. That's the point. Steve Kerr is telling him, look, I've been here. I know how to do this. I've seen the best do it. And Duncan and Jordan. I know how to do it. You can't argue with Duncan. I threw Duncan in there.
I'm not arguing.
Because I know you don't like Jordan. But,
no, it's all fair. It's all fair.
And Steve Kerr also has faced adversity in the playoffs without Jordan. So I believe he has a perspective from both sides. He knows the position that Cleveland is in. He didn't lose a championship, I don't think.
Orlando's team?
But yeah, he was on Orlando, but not when they were winning.
Not winning, though, right?
Not with Shaq. He left before then. But I believe he was with the Bulls the first year that Jordan was gone, 94, okay. If I'm not mistaken.
You're right.
I believe he was. But anyway, I think that experience is invaluable to be able to share that with the guys. And also, I don't know who he's had speaking to his players. Do you call Tim Duncan and say, hey, tell them this is how you close out?
I don't think Tim Duncan would talk to him, but
why? As a competitor?
As a competitor.
He sat there and told LeBron James this is gonna be a league one day. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Well, I mean, after he won a championship, he told him that.
He's been eliminated. He can't win this season. Why not help? Why not share some words of encouragement? You know?
That's possible. That's plausible, but I don't think he would do that. But.
Rick Barry, he lost. He knows what it feels like. He's definitely been in their ear. I think they have a lot of guys. Who you got in Cleveland that you can talk to? Craig Elo?
Oh,
Brad Doherty, he's doing NASCAR. Mark Price,
Mark Price,
he's helping people shoot the ball in Charlotte.
Mark Price, he got a head coaching job, didn't he?
Did he? Where?
Where college?
College.
Did he really?
I think so. Yeah.
I like Mark Price.
Doesn't matter.
He was a bullet.
Doesn't matter.
He was a bullet.
He was a bullet. We should say, hey,
pretty good.
His brother was too.
Yep. Brent Price. Yep.
Folks, to hype that band up too. That cat up too. Anyway, Mark Jackson, who's doing the games? Could Mark Jackson make the changes that Steve Kerr's made?
Damn, man.
Yeah, I'm going. Hey, Mark Jackson.
Potentially.
Could he do it?
Potentially.
I think he could have. I think Mark Jackson has the basketball IQ to have made those changes. Now, would he let his ego get in the way of making those changes? Because he allowing the opposition to dictate what he's doing. Mark Jackson, I don't necessarily think he would have made them, but I do think he has the basketball IQ and acumen that he could have made them, but I don't think he would allow himself to make them. Just because Mark Jackson's kind of old school where we're going to play our type of ball. You're going to beat us or you're not.
What you think, Ray?
It's a tough question for me. I don't like certain hypotheticals, and this is one of them, because I feel as though it's unfortunate that he did not get the opportunity, because technically he built this squad. I think they were ready to win, and Mark Jackson, I believe he'd have made a deep run in the playoffs. I can't say he would have made it to the finals, but against LeBron James, I think that, yes, he would have been a bit stubborn in changing his game plan versus Steve Kerr made the proper adjustment. So it's a tough call.
Just because of the conversations we had in the past, I think that, in my opinion, he wouldn't. And made the changes. We talk about Harrison Barnes should be in the starting lineup. And this is just off the, you know, for spacing purposes. We talk about because of spacing and having Iguodala in the starting lineup compared to Harrison Barnes. And he was stubborn to not even change that. Even in the postseason, the year that Mark Jackson got fired, when Harrison Barnes was balling in the postseason, averaging almost close to 20 points, he wouldn't give him that much burn compared to Iguodala. So how I look at it is that he would still be stubborn enough to stay with his set lineup.
Yeah, true.
Because he showed a pattern of that.
West Coast.
My man. How would you assess David Black? How would you assess David Black, head coach for the Cleveland?
You want to take this one first?
I think he's going to grow from this experience. I believe that he was already a good coach coming in. Mm-hmm. It's just that there were some adjustments to make.
You can't coach it's too hard.
Eric Spoelstra didn't do it. See, here's the thing. The only person I believe that could have coached LeBron James and you know, would have been the authority on the team is Phil Jackson.
I totally agree.
There was nobody else. Maybe.
I don't think if Pat Riley had came down
Pat
from
Riley,
Pat Riley's one. Yeah. You know, guys who have, you know, history of winning. Popovich, maybe.
Yeah, Popovich,
but that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, there were available coaches. Pat Riley was not going to come back and coach. Spoelstra's his guy. We knew that. But Spoelstra was just a puppet for Riley, and
he won two championships.
He's a puppet, like Ray said. Listen to Ray.
I know you hate Spoelstra. You don't think he can coach.
He's not
good. He won two championships.
I don't know what that means.
He won two championships. You cannot not be a good coach in the NBA and not win back-to-back championships.
This season has proved to me who Eric Spoelstra is. One man left your team. You're in a weak.
Then you had injured. Then you had. Then you had Chris Bosh, who missed like 40 games.
But they had an opportunity for those two to play. He had. They had those two did play in the season. One man leaves your team in the weak Eastern Conference with a team under 500 made the playoffs. Am I correct?
That's not even the argument to me.
I'm just saying
that. I mean, but to me, he was so badly outcoached in the finals the year before. It showed that he is somebody who struggles to make adjustments. He was in the right. He was in the right situation. Rivers won since his big three, you know, did that thing. No,
but then again, that also goes to Doc Rivers. Spoelstra is a young coach. He's a young coach, so he's still growing, like David Blatt.
Oh my God,
he's not Chuck Daly.
I'm not going to sit up here and say Eric Spoelstra is a great coach. But once again, if you use the excuse like for David Blatt that he's a young coach and he's learning.
I didn't say he's a young coach. No. Dave Blatt is not a young coach. He has a lot of experience. He's a first year NBA coach. And he was thrown into a tough situation. You go from coaching guys who respect you, who are listening, who are hungry to get to this level, which is the NBA, mm-hmm. and you go to coaching LeBron James, who recruits Kevin Love, you already got Kyrie Irving. That's a hard situation to find yourself in your first year in the NBA. And you see he struggled. They wanted him gone early in the season, including LeBron James, because I believe everything that comes out of Brian Windhorst's mouth, because he's a LeBron crony, just like whatever his name is, Broussard.
Chris Broussard. And your brother?
That's Zoobly Zoo looking dude.
This dude. I knew it was coming. That's why I put it out there.
Why Zoobly Zoo though?
It looks like the dude from Zoobly Zoo. Gosh, that got me off topic. I'm just saying, Brian Windhorst did. I don't know how many articles about the Cavalier players rumbling about we need a coaching change when things weren't going well earlier in the season. LeBron James is a hard person to coach, but he did, I think, grow a mutual respect for Eric Spoelstra as more like a peer, because they all grew close, you know, over that 4-year span where you make it to four championships. I mean, I think that's reasonable. However, it would have been hard for anybody to step in. The only other coach maybe he would listen to is like a Larry Brown, potentially. And Larry Brown, I don't even think he would have got the respect from LeBron. Because LeBron, again, he's finally, I like when people aren't politically correct. You told me, you don't want me to jump ahead, but he's not going to listen to many people at this point. And I believe that meeting between LeBron James and Dan Gilbert was essentially saying, this is your franchise, bro. I apologize. You got it. If anybody gets on your nerves, you let me know. I think that's LeBron's franchise. And it's paying off. You ain't heard nothing from Dan Gilbert, have you? He was tweeting and all that the year before when his team stunk, saying, I promise you guys we'll be back. I'm telling you, it's LeBron's franchise.
So do you think Blatt deserves a little more credit though? He's like, he's getting no credit.
No, he doesn't deserve any dog credit. You let one man do everything, you don't deserve no credit. You're not, it's not X's and O's. The same thing that your boy did, Spoelstra. I do think David Blatt is a good, solid coach, but in the NBA game, I think he has to learn. He's gonna learn from this experience and learn how to make adjustments, learn how to make proper substitutions. He threw Mike Miller in the game on media pressure. Mike Miller looked like he ain't played. I mean, like, he didn't even exercise in years. Sean Marion, why is he not in the game?
That's the one question I've always had.
I don't get it. Play some guy. James Jones, what is he out there for? He out there fouling.
He can shoot the three.
Hey, come on, man, for real. James
shoot
Jones?
The J. Shoot the J. Shoot the J.
My one question is always, you know, I know we don't see practice or anything like that, but my question has been, like, why hasn't Sean Marion suited up and played? To my knowledge, when healthy, Sean Marion
has
pretty,
a ring.
Yeah, he's a pretty effective defender.
He has a ring.
Why not put him out there on the floor?
Like, but you put Jack, old,
you put oh my gosh, but you might Mike Miller though.
He can make a three. They want
get the hell out of here, Mike.
Man,
Mike Miller can shoot.
I'm telling you, Jesus Shuttlesworth, if you mess LeBron up, dude, if you sign that contract,
he's
you are a big enough threat. You and J.R. Smith on the court together.
Oh,
without Shumpert is a defender, but Ray Allen's a good enough defender.
Shumpert annoys me. The dude makes like the best move going to the basket and miss the layup.
Well, he never goes all the way to the basket half the time. He stops and pulls up.
Yeah, it's like, duh. Shumpert is
sorry.
It is.
And David Blatt, next year, I think he'll learn from this experience. Like I said, I expect Cleveland to win a championship next year. I just think tonight, I expect Golden State to win. I'm not going to predict it tonight.
Well, no, I think anyone who realistically has looked at the way that roster is shaped up has known that year one would be the worst year for Cleveland. Until they all are able to learn how to play with each other. David Blatt learns the ins and outs of the NBA, coaching in the NBA. I fully expect that if they don't get the championship this year, that they'll get one next year.
Well, if they don't, KD's going to get one next year. I'm telling you.
And we're in D.C.?
No. Next year, he'll be with Oklahoma next year. He will be with OKC next year. And he could get a ring. I'm telling you, he's motivated. Just LeBron is a blessed individual that he has avoided major injury. Over his career. He really is. I mean,
look, that's because he takes care of his body.
Well, no. So does Dwight Howard. But Dwight Howard's body finally wore down eventually, man. And LeBron has played in so many more games than anybody else. I don't know how, like I said, it is a tribute to, you know, it being a blessing. That's what I'm going to say.
Anyway, it's about time for a commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about game six of the NBA Finals. We'll give our predictions.
It's getting hot in here.
And my boy Ray's already gave his prediction. You already can tell who he has winning this game tonight. But anyway, it's the Urban Sports Center.
The Splash Pop, baby. The Splash Pop.
Deuces.
Man.
Morning, it's me, Magic Johnson here. I won 5 NBA championships and Olympic gold medal. So I'm calling the shots today. Get up out of bed, into school, try hard, do well. School got me to where I am today. So be there every single day. And of course, give it your best shot.
Yeah, I try to make her next month sitting up there. Fucking straight as she wrote.
How much money is that?
Yellow beat, come at me.
And show me on some hot. Like I told Tish, I see when I shot. Like you seen him twirl, and he drops it. And we keep them to my block. And Monte keep it on him, he don't drop. And we be wildin', he's some hot. Tones known to get dizzy with them. Try to run down and you can catch. Running through these checks till I pass out.
Pass out.
Shorty give me neck till I pass out.
Pass out.
I swear to God, all I do is cash out. And if you ain't up,
get up on my trap house.
I've been selling guns like the 5th grade. Really never made no difference with this shit made. That told me flip them packs and how to maintain. Get that money back and spend it on the same thing. Shorty like the way that I ball out.
Ball out.
I be getting money, time fall out.
Ball out.
You talking cash, dog, I go all out.
Ball out.
Shorty love the way that I flow out. Free greasy, them, let all of my dogs out. Mama send no cats inside my dog. That's what got my daddy locked up in the dog pound. Free fan on them, let all of my dogs out. We gon' pull up in that Uzi that we got on them. With them 16s, we gon' put some shots on them. I send a little dot, I send a drop on them. She gon' call me up and I'ma sink the hots on them. Grammy Savage, that's who we are. Grammy sh**, Justin G-Star. GS9, I go so hard.
With GS, I don't even know.
We're just giving our, Ray's giving this on. Off mic giving his movie review.
Yeah, Dwayne Johnson influencing Ronda Rousey, the best athlete in the world right now.
She's very attractive to me. I don't know why.
Exercise or die, man. You gotta love a chick that exercises and can beat you up.
I don't think Ronda Rousey. Nah, I don't think I've heard the name. I haven't seen her.
She was in Fast and Furious too.
I still haven't seen Fast and Furious. I gotta go check.
Yeah, she's not like your average WWE chick, like China. That's who I would compare it to. Because China was a buff chick that they try to make attractive. But Ronda Rousey's actually, you know, she's decent looking. Mainstream radio is listening right now. Like, how he don't know that? You don't know who Ronda Rousey is?
No, she's like,
I've heard the name. I haven't seen the
picture. She's the biggest star in MMA.
Yeah, I know she's the biggest star in MMA. But
oh, yeah, she was armed by that dude. I'm serious. She done dislocated chick's arms. Watch your YouTube clips, man.
Okay, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, check her out, man.
But I want to see Ant-Man, though, when that comes out next
month. You
want
to see that?
Hell Terminator, yeah. Bro. Terminator.
You want to see Ant-Man?
NWA?
It looks weird. That's what
NWA, I do want to see that.
My man told me, you know, it's going to draw a lot of teeny bobbers, so he may not go. I tend to agree, unless I go to, like, iPick. I don't know if iPick is going to feature that film. Mm-hmm. That's my concern.
I just try to escape the whole young crowd. I skip work.
Go on Sunday.
Matinee. That's what I do now.
Sundays at 11 o'clock.
Matinees are amazing. They're cheap.
Sundays at 11 o'clock. That's when you go to the movies.
Still run the risk because that's a weekend. But during a weekday, you take a day off from work and you go to the movies.
The best time to do it is obviously during school. Yeah. Now they go to summer. They're on summer vacation.
What rough you work at again? It's like just.
I deserve a day off sometimes, right? We all do. And my profession, they call that a mental health day. Now he's a totally different beast. I wouldn't be surprised if you go to movies and post it, and his boss would like it. I don't understand. He told me I'm gonna get in a basketball league. I'm like, how you gonna play in it? Oh, on my lunch break, like I usually do. I'm sorry. Did I say too much?
Yes, you did. You jerk. No worries. Now it's buffering, so we're good. Thank you. Oh. That's buffering.
Okay. All right.
That was.
His boss is a fan. His supervisor is a fan of the show.
That's my dude. My supervisor. That's my dude.
I thought you had a female supervisor now. Not anymore.
Yeah, I do. She don't.
You're not friends. You're not friends on Facebook.
We are not friends on Facebook. We will not be friends on Facebook. You will not get that one from me at all.
She gonna create the dislike button.
Anyway, game six is tonight, 9 o'clock. We got about 30 more minutes. No, actually 25 more minutes.
25 minutes.
All right, what are the keys for the Warriors to close it out tonight?
To me, the most important thing for the Warriors is pace. Continue to play at that tempo, continue to play at the pace that they played at when they won game five, when they won game one. They did? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I hope it's not the dude they called last time I was here. It was like, I saw the anniversary. I want to talk about the Redskins out of nowhere.
I know, not that one.
How you doing, bro? If you listening? Sorry.
You are the worst person in the world.
You really are. Pace is number one. And also continue to not turn the ball over. Go to those 1-4 sets with Stephen Curry playing up high with Dellavedova, where Stephen Curry can see if there's a win or if a double team is coming for him, and he can either pass out or create his own shot. To me, those are the two keys for Golden State to win.
I believe that wanting to win on the road, you need to shorten your rotation a bit tonight. That means limiting Sean Livingston's minutes, cutting it back a bit. There was another guy came off the bench. I'm sorry, I don't know his name, but he came in. Barbosa's been good, but
Festus CB.
There you go. He just came in and fouled people twice.
Yeah.
No, don't bring him in, please. Are you returning somebody's phone call? Okay. Wow. I believe shorten your rotation because I know David Blatt's gonna pull out all the stops, and my guess is LeBron may not come out the game tonight. Very rarely. Chirp, boys, chirping.
Hey, I got you.
So we have a caller.
Yeah, man, Wood from Ohio.
Who?
Wood from Ohio.
Wood?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He has his own podcast.
What's going on, Wood?
Hey, Wood, you on? Hello? Wood.
I got a problem calling another man Wood, but.
Hello?
It's understood. I do it for you.
What?
You
hear
me?
Y'all hear me now? What's up?
Okay, man. When I just was caught in, and I didn't get to check out what y'all were saying, what the show was about. I just had a comment on the NBA Finals, man.
What you
got to
say about the finals real quick? We got about a minute, though.
Okay. No, I'm just real quick. I just felt like Black, when he made the choice to sit Mozgov based on the fact that with him in the lineup, though, down. I just feel like he didn't factor in that LeBron was actually totally drained that night, and so he wasn't as effective as he normally would have been. So I feel like he kind of did like a double negative based off of just trying to go small and match up with Golden State better.
No, I agree. I think to your point. Thanks for the call, Wood. Mozgov should definitely play more. You should use your advantage. Cleveland's advantages are their bigs with Thompson and Mozgov. Once you go small ball with the Golden State Warriors, you're going to lose because their smaller players are better than the Cleveland Cavaliers small players. So definitely use the Mozgov. He had like 27 points,
28 points
a couple games ago. Use that advantage.
I appreciate the feedback, and you agree with, or I assume that you've been watching Michael Wilbon, Stephen A. Smith. I mean, pretty much virtually everyone has said that. However, David Blatt had a good comeback. He said, "We lost by 21 when I played Mozgov, and he scored all his points. This game was much closer."
Very true. Very, very true.
But numbers don't lie.
Hey, Wood, thanks for the call, though, my man.
Hey, appreciate y'all's time.
All right, man.
All right, thanks. All right, brother.
Make sure y'all follow. Hey, Wood, I'm going to give folks your podcast information. Just tell me the link, all right?
Okay,
all
thank right. you. All right. Peace, fellas.
Peace.
I said, I have a problem calling another man Wood. I call him Wilson, something like that.
That's a nickname, man. Y'all, you're in a whole different town. That's a nickname,
hey,
man.
Hey, dude.
See, we grown, whatever. Man. You strong in your sexuality, man. You
I am strong.
Call him Woody.
That's worse.
Woody Harrelson, one of the best actors.
That's worse, man.
One of the best roles he ever played.
Hey, that dude's cool, though, man.
Ohio. Yeah, no, I appreciate him showing support and calling in.
It's actually, if you think about it, he could be our Cleveland Cavaliers.
Beat reporter.
Exactly. Think about it.
Our connect.
Yeah.
Dallas Cowboy Blue.
Oh, he was weak. He didn't help me enough.
Wow, way to bash someone on.
But you like brother to the night. He like brothers. He like some crazy people.
Brother to the night.
What? Hey, come on, man. You ain't have to do that. That's an inside thing, man.
Inside joint, though, man.
Brother to the night used to post stuff on Twitter like
all the time for.
I paid for sex one time, didn't feel good. It's like,
are you serious?
And there was no heart in it or something. I'm like, all right, man. You know what? I was like, we need a different set of fans out there, man. You just have to do is gonna be outside your box, like, hey guys, I can't actually see you. Like on Players Club. I remember he said, Diamond, I spent a lot of money on you. He was outside our apartment. Like, you gotta be careful with people like him,
hey,
man. I'm serious.
Not,
I don't need a cold like following.
No. He's serious though. He's dead serious.
Praise. Hey, look, he was in Georgia though. So that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, he was in Georgia. So. Atlanta Falcons. You can't go to Atlanta, right? He'll find you.
I'm gonna stop there. Game six is about to start.
Game six, man. Who said the keys were? Good God, man.
For me, I said the Golden State, they need to continue the pace and tempo that they're playing at currently and keep the number of turnovers down to, I'll say, under 10.
Oh, and Ray, what did you say? I know I missed. I forgot.
Say that again.
What did you say?
Keys for the Warriors tonight.
Oh, I said shorten their rotation. I think tonight, as you see in baseball often, baseball, they'll bring their ace in to do the closing job. I think you have to shorten your rotation. Let Curry play the longest game of his life tonight to close out the Cavaliers. Okay. Why not?
So what happens if they are say?
Well, yeah, who can outrun Steph?
But who's just saying like that? Rich, let's Hamilton. Say Cleveland. They do that. Cleveland wins. Wouldn't you be scared that you gas Steph for game seven?
Well, you got 2 days. You got an extra day rest. You got an extra day rest.
You're right. So it doesn't matter.
So I mean, I think if I'm Golden State. Like Ray said, I put my foot on their throat tonight, and there I try to end it in Cleveland.
LeBron's going to go down swinging. They're going to pull out all the stops. I know that. However, one man cannot beat a team. I just do not believe it.
I totally agree with you.
I really don't agree with you. I think LeBron has already done more than everything he can. And to me, it plays into Golden State's hands when he starts shooting ill-advised jump shots because LeBron does not make. Not even 50%. This is like the worst shooting percentage he's had in his career.
He's taking so many shots.
Now you see what Iverson went through. Now you see what guys who had to do it all on their team. I love the Iverson example because he got criticized for taking so many shots. Now you see what's going on.
The Iverson example is a good example.
It's a great example.
It's a great example, actually.
Cool.
Allen Iverson example.
Yeah, he had to take a lot of shots. And Allen Iverson took a worse team. Anyway, that's a whole other subject. He'll be in the Hall of Fame next year.
Allen Iverson's work was you can't compare what Allen Iverson did to a lot of teams. Period, that made it to the NBA Finals. Because LeBron, LeBron throughout the season had Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. Allen Iverson took that team from.
Yeah, he beat Big Dog and Ray Allen. Yeah. You know when they were young. Same as himself.
Yeah.
He played against some good
and
teams.
Took that team to the finals from day one. So it's different. It's a different beast. But
And some bad refs probably contributed to that too.
See, that's the other thing that kind of scares me if this goes seven. The referees
have been good regardless. They haven't been good.
Joey Crawford.
They've been very inconsistent. So inconsistent.
Mm. like that. That scares me. If it goes seven and Joy Crawford is a,
you think it's both? You think it's both ways though, right?
Both ways.
Yeah, it's been bad calls both ways.
I think it's both ways.
Bad calls both ways. I totally agree.
Like either game against the game that Golden State did win in Cleveland. Like Joy Crawford was showing his ass. Sorry, not for that time. He just was.
What do you mean?
Dump button.
Yeah, no, I don't have to. I can say a word.
You can curse, but I can't.
No, but you use strong curse. That's not even. I didn't say.
I'll just give you a hard time, man. I'm just giving you a hard time.
He's a strong curse word. A curse word is a curse word, man.
I'm sorry, folks.
Very true. Very true.
I apologize, Ray.
But yeah, I understand. Hey, if you're going by like FCC standards,
yeah, exactly,
or something.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sorry, though. I apologize. What was I saying?
You saying ass.
Well, shoot, man. Dang. I said shoot. I didn't say the other word. Joey Crawford. I'm talking in terms of Joey Crawford. What's the game where he teed up? Who did he tee up? He called it. He didn't. He missed the ball out of bounds.
It was obvious.
It was the obvious one. And then he teed somebody up. He teed up somebody from Cleveland. It was like he was just trying to show off rather than just ref the game.
I'm glad when he can get his, 25 to 30 years and get his pension and then get the hell out of ref.
Yeah, he's so annoying. He is so annoying because it's all about making a point.
Yeah.
And he speaks disrespectfully toward the players. Have y'all noticed? He says, shut up.
Shut up, yeah.
You seen it?
Yeah.
Now, LeBron complains a lot now, it seems like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it seems worse now.
It seems worse during the finals.
And considering how hard he runs into people, it's like, my goodness, he forced himself into that camera. You know what I mean?
No, that was an act.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm a LeBron fan. That was an act. That was a total act.
That's what I mean. I'm saying. But
you saw Iguodala clown him, though?
After the game?
No, during the game. When Iguodala got fouled, he was like holding his arm.
Oh, yeah.
He started cheesing. And then he's holding his stomach. They started cheesing again. He was mocking LeBron James.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't pick that up.
No, he was mocking him.
Hey, maybe you should add Andre and LeBron and try to start something. Because I didn't get that either. I didn't pick that up. I thought he was being funny. No, I thought he was acting. I didn't think he was mocking LeBron. He said he was.
Not. Google on social media. Seriously. Google. Google it. Sorry. Just Google it, period. It's already known that that's what he was doing. He was mocking.
Hey, so you're a social media guy. That's why I'm surprised you haven't seen Matthew Dellavedova trending these days.
No, he's like, trending. I don't know.
Marrying Deladon or whatever, like how her name would be sweet. Yeah, Elena Deladon. Yeah. Crazy stuff.
Are
anyway,
you serious?
I've been looking at it. Anyway,
what are we talking about now?
Game six. We're talking about the key to the game. And I said shortening rotation. We were talking about the refs, though, how they could play a role. I don't know. It's interesting. Adam Silver, to me, runs a much smoother operation. If this was David Stern, I'd be totally concerned that tonight's game would be thrown out the window and that it would definitely be a game seven because he was all about the money.
You know, that's an interesting perspective. I don't think we really had the time to speak on it now. It's interesting because just getting, a lot of people's opinion about Silver versus David Stern as the commissioner. A lot of people thought that whenever David Stern was the commissioner, things were fixed, like lottery picks, finals, the playoffs, and things like that. But now people feel as if it's more transparent. They feel as if
I agree.
People feel a lot more transparent with Adam Silver.
Jordan got away with a lot.
Yeah.
Jordan got a lot of the star players there, Magic included.
Yeah,
I totally agree. But today it seems like it's Jordan a little. There's no conspiracy theories behind certain storylines in the NBA.
See,
whereas previously it did.
Whenever you take over a league or any type of business, or when you're taking over someone who is disliked as David Stern was, I believe it's an easy transition. It's easy to come in and be a people's commissioner, but he already has made very, clear, concise decisions that he seemed to make independently without the pressure of the public or anyone else. Unlike a Goodell, who seems to be unable to make a decision on his own, an authoritative decision on his own. I don't get that from Adam Silver. I believe that he definitely wants to be an innovator. I believe he wants to make sure that the league is remaining popular with the changing in cultures and in technology. I mean, the NBA to me is it, which is why this is the highest rated finals too. I think he plays a role in it, and he's there all the time. He's a great commissioner. He's younger. I like him. I believe that it's going to be a fair game tonight. The referees, they make mistakes. They're humans. I get it. But I don't think it will have anything to do with the conspiracy theory, as Will just said.
I don't think there'll be a conspiracy theory, but I won't think anything's going to happen. But my thought is that when it comes to officiating, it's been terrible. Period. It's been consistently bad throughout the whole playoffs. Like, just been bad. So
the Wizards got robbed.
Yeah, it's just been some bad calls, period. It's been bad calls throughout the postseason. Silver, I mean, give it time. Now, if Cleveland wins tonight, you'll hear people cry about it. There'll be some type of conspiracy theory.
I'm pretty sure, but just me personally, I would feel I don't necessarily believe in the conspiracy theories. I know that the NBA league office can influence officiate and say, you guys need to watch for this, watch for that XYZ. That's more prevalent to a certain team. I think that they can kind of sway the officiating that way.
Yeah.
But I do. I just wouldn't feel comfortable watching Game 7 knowing that Joy Crawford is the lead official or is involved anyway in officiating.
One thing that I also think that helped is, and I know the NBA took a page out of the NFL's book by putting an ex-referee in the box and they interview him during the game. Like, what's your perspective? And a lot of times, this official, he disagrees with the ruling on the court versus in football, most of the time, it's consistent. I think that says a lot. Because obviously, if you have this guy, I'm drawing a blank when it comes to names. I can see him in my mind.
What for the NFL?
No, for the NBA. The referee,
Steve Jackson.
He often, even when he gives, you know, his opinion before the actual ruling on the court, it's been different on a number of occasions from what the actual referees have said. And he's one of the more well respected officials, along like Dick Bavetta. So I think again, referees are making genuine mistakes, and it has nothing to do with a ratings draw. Now, from a fan's perspective, I would love to see a game 7.
Yeah,
me too. I think everybody would.
Yeah. So, all right. So that can happen. What are the keys for the Cavs to win game 6?
For the Cavs, use their size on the offensive boards. Mozgov and Tristan Thompson on the offensive boards has been a monster. You know, he doesn't necessarily have to get the offensive rebound, but keeping the ball in play, tipping it. Whether it's tipping it to himself, a teammate, or tipping it out, that's key number one. Key number two, you have to get J.R. Smith involved earlier on. You can't go with J.R. Smith, get him going in the beginning, then deviate from him.
Go ahead. I disagree only because I think Cleveland, even last game, the last two games, the games they've lost, they've turned the ball over, and you put the Warriors in transition. The Warriors, if you remember, in game 4, I believe – or maybe it was a game 5. Maybe it was game 5. Their first maybe 6 to 8 points were all in transition. They didn't score anything in the half court set. If you give them, like, offensive rebounding is key. I agree with that because if the Warriors get the defensive rebound, they're going to run. I mean, when they get it, they're going to run.
True.
But if you turn the ball over, which Iman Shumpert does quite frequently, Dellavedova does quite frequently, it's going to be a problem. LeBron has had to do too much. It's just if they can limit their turnovers and slow the game down, because they're going to have big guys. If you're running with the Warriors and you have big guys in, that's going to be a problem. I don't care if J.R. Smith – if J.R. Smith is in the game and he's hitting shots, but they're turning the ball over and they're in a battle of running back and forth, it's going to be a problem.
Well, to me, like, first of all, LeBron has to set the tone. Then they have to play with their big lineup. They have to take advantage of Mozgov and Thompson. Go to the post, pound the post with Mozgov. If they're going to start Iguodala, I mean, you have a big height advantage. Or if Draymond Green's checking him, you have a big height advantage. Mozgov has to play big, and also your main players have to step up. And I'm talking about your main players outside of LeBron James, and what I'm referring to was J.R. Smith and Shumpert. They have to step up, and if I was David Blatt, I would consider starting J.R. Smith and having Dellavedova off the bench.
That's something that I was going to suggest. I think you need to get J.R. Smith going earlier. Mm-hmm. Dellavedova is a guy that, let's be frank, it's hit or miss of what you're going to get from him offensively. We know he had the 120-point game, but when it comes to shooting the three, he hasn't been able to do much. He's not taking anyone off the dribble. What he does provide is toughness, grit, and defense and spurts. But J.R. Smith is a guy that's your second scorer, a guy that can create a shot for himself and others, and a guy who's a streaky shooter. So you need to get him going earlier, and you need to be honest with you, I haven't seen them run a set at half court for anyone except LeBron.
Because LeBron runs
Dellavedova is somebody who he he's hesitant when he shoots versus J.R. Smith isn't. J.R. Smith has a great pump fake that works. And it's hard because, again, when he gets it, he doesn't hesitate. He goes right up with it. Dellavedova, have you noticed he's been shooting bricks lately? Just big bricks. Awful shots. Which shows that he's thinking about it. The pressure is getting to these guys, J.R. Smith included. We already know LeBron has to do everything. LeBron's going to need 50 for them to win, and he's going to have to, and they're going to have to minimize the cramps. I hope he drank plenty of fluids. The building in Cleveland seems a bit, I don't know what the word is. What's going on here? Humid or than what I saw in Oakland. I don't know if Oakland's in Golden State. I don't know if it's bigger or Arena, but it's quick dry.
It's dry heat out.
It seems like they were being treated more in Game 4 for the cramping. I know it was a short turnaround, but they seem like they were being treated more in Game 4 for cramping than they were in Game 5. And I think people aren't realizing that J.R. Smith, in the second half of games, he's faded off because his legs are tired, too. He's not used to playing this far into the postseason. I don't think he's made this far of a run, except with Denver that 1 year. And with that team, he wasn't a main player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, we know who was. J.R. Smith has matured a lot, but, you know, again, I believe that fatigue is going to be a huge factor for Cleveland versus Golden State. They're younger. They've had a deeper rotation throughout the entire playoffs, and it's catching up with Cleveland, which is why they lost back-to-back games.
Yeah. But anyways, LeBron, like Ray mentioned earlier in the show, LeBron James is a little more – he's more arrogant. He's confident, and according to him, he's not worried at all about Game 6. And here's what he had to say.
Do you feel a lot less pressure this finals run just because you are undermanned and you had some injuries as opposed to previous years?
Nah, I feel confident because I'm the best player in the world. That's simple.
All right, so what are your thoughts about his comments about being the best player in the world?
I think it's true. I don't think there's no denying that he is the best player in the world. But like Ray said, this is the great discussion. Just because you're the best player, does that mean that you're able to lift your team to victory, or does a complete team come out victorious? I think tonight, I'm hoping that Cleveland wins this game because I want to see a Game 7.
Ray, what do you have to say? Because you were very opinionated about it before.
Very plain and simple. I enjoy when people are not politically correct. It's about time that you come out and say what you felt. You know, a few years back, if you remember when he lost to Dallas, one of his comments were directed to people of Cleveland. He said, "I'm gonna, tomorrow go back to living my life. You know, doing me, rich." Chilling. You know, I lost the final. So what? I'm still getting money. I'm still in one of the best teams in the league. You go back to your terrible lives. It's a recession. You guys suck. No, he didn't flat out say those words, of course, but this was one of the first times that a star player of his caliber said, "I am the best player in the world." You know what I mean? I don't even think I heard that come out of Jordan's mouth during his career. Jordan waited until his Hall of Fame speech to say, Jerry Reinsdorf didn't play with the flu. He started, throwing that arrogance out there that we always knew was there anyway. But, why not? We know that's what you feel anyway. But it shows that the rest of the things you said in the past have been BS. Like, for example, he used to always say Dwayne Wade is our star player. You know, he's the leader. Please.
Oh, we already knew that, though.
Please, come on. I know, but thank you, finally, for being upfront and honest. But the best player in the world can't beat the best team in the world. Period.
One person.
And I'm not saying that Golden State Warriors are the best team in the world, but they're the best team right now. And their record said during the regular season they were the best team.
Record-wise, they're historically one of the better teams.
We'll talk about that, too, in terms of what a win will do that for the Golden State's legacy for this season in terms of what you rank them as all-time, one of the all-time teams. But LeBron's comment, to me, he's embracing it. This is what I love about the comment. He's embracing the negativity he can get if he loses. So he's basically putting it on him and saying, "All right, I'm the best player in the world. I'm not worried." Because he knows if he loses, everybody's going to go at him. They're going to say, "Well, you're the best player in the world, but you couldn't beat the Golden State Warriors in Game 6. You couldn't do that." So he has to play good tonight. He can't have an average game. He has to have that consistent 40-point game, 50-point game, or whatever. Because if LeBron has a 20-point game shooting 5 from 20 from the field, then you know he's going to get the hate speech or the hate rhetoric from some of the analysts or the people on Twitter or whatever, whatnot. I love it. He's embracing. He's saying, you know what? I'm the best player on the planet. I know I'm going to play well. They can't stop me. And whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I'm that confident to know that I'm going to have one of the most dominant games, period, in this series.
I think it's a far cry. Like both of you said, it's a far cry from LeBron that we heard in Miami.
Maturity, yeah.
Maturity, confidence in himself. He's really grown as a man and as a player. And he's embracing the role of saying, this is my team. I'm putting it all on my back and we're going for broke. So I love it.
I love it. It's like the villain role. I love it. He's the villain.
He's the heel.
Take it in.
Yeah, you didn't mention that Dusty Rhodes passed, did you?
Oh, I did. Know what? Yeah, doing my show. Hey, hold on. Yes, Bill. We'll mention that.
We'll mention that at the end.
Warriors.
You know what I'm saying? All right, so you got the two picking already? You got the win, the Warriors? Why? We are pretty much set why, though.
Yeah,
Warriors.
I'm going with Cleveland tonight.
I'm going with Cleveland myself. I think LeBron James is going to have one of those special games. The game, I think we'll say that Boston game for game seven, though. I'm going to say that Boston type game for game seven.
Where he just crunches in the corner and melts down?
No. The game we score like all the points.
Yeah, this is a whole different beast.
Yeah.
And he still had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh on the side at the time.
He scored most of those points, period.
Doesn't matter, but them on the court makes a huge difference between Matthew Dellavedova and...
You have a valid point. I'm just saying he'll have that type of shooting performance. You won't have the bad shooting performance. I think he'll shoot at a high clip. That's what I'm saying. In game seven.
Why is D-Wade always... commentating, man. I mean, my gosh.
Why do Dwayne Wade and LeBron have the same haircut? The same part?
I mean,
I don't know what that is.
You peep that too?
Yeah. I'm getting my hair cut like that this weekend.
All right. So to what Will mentioned earlier about Golden State having one of the better records ever.
67-15.
Exactly. Ever. One of the best records ever. Where would you rank them if they win a championship and with that record in terms of all-time greats in terms of a team?
I think if you just looking at them statistically and looking at them record wise, this is, to be honest with you, one of the top five or six teams of all time.
Ray, your thoughts?
That is a bit much, man.
67 wins, bro.
67 wins.
67 wins, bro. I want you to hear.
Think about it.
Statistically, you said.
Yeah, statistically.
Okay, I agree with that. I agree with that because I don't want to hold the show. The game's getting ready to start.
It's okay, you can hold it.
I totally agree with you, Will.
Still got
top 16. So they won 67 games. They dodged some bullets in the playoffs, though, brothers.
You said
they
what?
Did. They dodged some bullets in the playoffs. They did.
They sure did. They did.
Because I would love for them to have to go through San Antonio to really, you know, do the Ric Flair thing. You got to beat a man.
You got
to
beat the man.
There you go. You know what I mean?
Woo!
There you go. Woo! Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. So I agree with you. Hey, Will, I agree with you. Top five. Definitely top five. Okay. If they do win tonight, top five. Or win the series.
LeBron James.
All right. So if this game goes.
Who is that dude? Who's that dude?
One of your light-skinned brethren. I don't know.
There's so many of y'all.
He had the roll bounce, Bush.
If this game goes seven, if it does go seven, Ray, since you have a different, you know, you have Cleveland losing tonight.
You got to play the game. If it goes seven,
what do you think's going to happen? If it does go seven, it'd be a blowout, or you think Golden State get
tired? My concern about going seven is I think the momentum completely shifts to Cleveland. I believe that Golden State goes home concerned. I do. However, they still have the swagger of the home court. They have the better team. They know it. They have right now the better coach. Golden State should win this series. There should be no reason that they shouldn't.
I still think Golden State wins this at seven.
If it goes seven, I'm changing my pick. I'm going Cleveland games.
You cannot do that.
I can do what I want to. I have a mic. I can do what I want to. I can change my mind, and I think I'll have Cleveland winning it. But Cleveland has to, in my opinion, Cleveland has to pretty much dominate this game in Game Six. You can't give any confidence going into Game Seven for the Warriors.
Look at them; they're nervous. You see, LeBron looks angry. He's ready to fight. LeBron is ready for war. The rest of these dudes are nervous. Look how they're moving. LeBron, that's nervous energy.
Well, what's the dude's name for? That loves LeBron, the reporter who follows him every
time. Brian Windhorst.
He said that he thought like the role players looked broken after game five. And he said even tonight, even this afternoon, they didn't look right.
Man, he better shut his mouth because you're not going to have a job if Cleveland doesn't win, son.
I know, right? I know.
That dude went from the Akron B or whatever the name of that paper is to following LeBron everywhere he goes. Man, isn't that awesome? And I bet LeBron doesn't hang out with him.
Not at all. He don't like the type of person LeBron would.
Hey, what's up, LeBron? What you doing tonight?
You think to the club? You think LeBron?
Nothing, Brian. Nah, he's going to be typing the ESPN article in the club like LeBron. I mean, they're so obsessed with that, man. I get it, though. I get it. I'm sorry I didn't cover the high school star like that. Shout out to my homegirl, Kyla.
All right, about time to go hard.
She's going to Maryland.
Go hard and play for game six. Go Ray, you can start because this is my beautiful
home. Go hard in the
second. I told you I am nervous for this. Say it again.
You started the second, dog.
That's right.
You started the second.
That's right. I'm going with Draymond Green. You got to bring energy to the table. Set the tone on the road. He's going hard in the paint. Draymond Green is going to be the key. You won't be MVP. LeBron will still be MVP after the nice loss.
I am going with Tristan Thompson. I think Tristan Thompson has like 16 rebounds out of those 16. Eight of them would be offensive rebounds. So I'm going with Tristan Thompson to go hard in the paint.
I'm going to go with the dude with the high top. I'm going with Shumpert for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Go hard in the paint. He needs a good game. Good game. He's having like 3, 5, 4 kind of point games in the series.
Jarvis Hayes, where you at, man?
So I have Shumpert.
You can play tonight.
I got Shumpert get dropping 15 tonight and going hard in the paint.
Damon Jones, stop eating, bro.
Yeah, real talk. You need to stop eating, though. Seriously. This is real. Real talk, needs to stop
eating. That Eddie House stuff is contagious, man. I'm telling you, man.
That thing
is hashtag fat boy.
Fat boy lifestyle is not right. It's wrong.
This burger's in Cleveland. I've seen it.
Hey.
Michael Simon, Food Network, son.
Stop eating. Arteries, man.
Something wrong with y'all dudes.
Not cool, son.
You cannot be a professional athlete and get fat.
It's ridiculous.
And you're Damon Jones?
You look at the facility.
You're Damon Jones? Exactly. Look, this here. Exercise equipment. LeBron James
Damon
in front of
Jones
you.
Damon Jones isn't an athlete anymore. He's part of that Cleveland front
office. He was an athlete. That's the point. He was an athlete.
He's a shooting coach.
Yeah.
I'm not listening to a fat shooter. I like Clint Bellamy.
Dale Curry is fat too, by the way.
Is he fat?
Dale Curry is fat.
Let me take that back.
He's down south, though.
Oh, that's a good food.
But when you're tall, it doesn't look the same. That's why you didn't know he was fat.
Yeah, you're right.
But That dude visibly is much bigger, much heavier.
He's a wide body.
Yeah. All right, man, let's stop talking about people.
Why not?
That's just not what
I do. All right, man, we're about to close the show out. But again, before we close the show out, man, I want to talk about the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, man. I don't know about y'all, but I grew up watching like him, Superstars Wrestling.
Al told us.
We talk about Dusty Rhodes.
He talked about you like wrestling.
All right, no way. Real talk, man. That was an insult. I feel like I was trying to be real right now. Trying to be real about Dusty Rhodes. And you coming at me about Hulk Hogan, the earthquake. I know what it was about. All right. I know what Al was talking about. Yeah.
It was all scripted.
I wrote Hulk Hogan because I thought earthquake killed the dude.
How'd you get a stamp for that?
My mom gave me the stamp.
Oh.
I was serious about that.
I just, as a kid, I didn't know where to get a stamp.
I got African parents. You know, the stamps are there. There's stuff going to Nigeria. Stamps are there. They got they got all that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
But back to the subject at hand. Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
You should have played the music. In the America.
He was like the.
I need to get my car.
He was a poet. He's like the Muhammad. He was like the Muhammad Ali of box of
a boxer,
a wrestler.
He used to talk
just the way he talked, like trash talk.
Yeah, I dined with King.
Come on now,
really? Yeah, he was poetic. He used to rhyme all the time.
Ric Flair.
No, Dusty Rhodes was good with the mic. Which to be the man, woo! You gotta be. He said it all the time. Dusty Rhodes was a fat.
Come on, man, with the pimp.
Like Dusty, yeah, it's true that. Dusty Rhodes was so cool that he was like a fat wrestler. He looked sloppy doing it. He made you think like you could be a wrestler. You know what I'm saying? He's out of shape.
That's a subliminal shot, Will. He looked right at you and he said, it's like you could be a fat dude. He looked right at you and said, you could be a fat dude and be a wrestler.
Don't do that. Don't create friction. That's not what I did.
Taking subliminals as a general.
No, I'm saying I'm dead serious. He was like a fat dude. Made thought you could be a wrestler. As a kid growing up, I thought I could be a wrestler. I wouldn't have to work out.
You still can be a wrestler.
I know I could. You know, I can make money.
You was Coco Beware. That was all y'all looked up to. I don't know.
Hell no. Coco Beware.
Money from?
Y'all. We should be y'all. That's a racist comment.
Coco Beware, number one. He didn't even wear on Saturdays.
He said he's part white. See what he did? That's racist. That's a white side coming out. That's terrible.
What? Whoa, this is going a whole other direction, baby.
Mark Jackson is fat.
Mark Jackson looks uncomfortable.
He looks fat.
He looks uncomfortable calling this game, knowing that Golden State could potentially.
He looks like he hasn't gotten any sleep.
He looks thinner now than he did in the NBA. Is that true?
No, Mark he's Jackson. He's heavier.
I don't know. What's your guys' opinion? I would have rather saw Mike Tirico and Hugh Brown.
Mike Tirico. Oh, heck
Mike
no.
Tirico, no.
You guys, you prefer Mark
yeah,
Jackson.
And Jeff Van Gundy. And yeah. Something's wrong with you when it comes to that. Like you said, Steve Kerr would be better. I mean, Reggie Miller's better than him, I think.
Me too.
Steve Kerr.
Reggie Miller has a better body of work as a player, and he's more entertaining.
Yeah, he is.
I go about the X's
like
and
Weber,
O's.
I like Chris Webber.
I hate Chris Webber as an analyst.
He's entertaining too, and Chris Webber
always tries to interject himself and being like, "Well, I used to do this, and this is get the hell out of here." No, you didn't. You used to call timeouts when you didn't have none.
I like Chris Webber.
You used to go ball over on Enterprise Road. Oh. That's why you could never win the championship and get this team over 500 when you in D.C.
Wow, it's all coming out now. They got to the playoffs. They weren't.
They made the playoffs. Yeah, they lost to the Bulls. They were over 500.
Over 500.
Get past the second round.
They made the first round.
I mean, past
the first round. He faced MJ, son. What can you do?
Kyle Buchanan wasn't getting calls. She hated that series. He cheated that series.
Look at Mike Miller fired up. Let's go championship
all right,
time.
It's about time to rock out. In the show, watch me watch NBA.
Look at this. Oh, my goodness. Who does that in football?
He's ready, though.
Who does that? Who does that run in football, son?
Who does that?
Somebody does that crazy that type run.
No
idea. Ray Lewis?
Nah, not Ray Lewis. I can't think of who it is. All
right, man.
All right, Urbanites.
We about to zone out.
I'm out.
Mega, take us out, homie. I pledge allegiance to the swag.